Good morning, everyone. Hope none of us are asleep. So if you see the title of this sermon, I put is Little Children, Their Privileges and Danger. And I appreciate the image that we have in front of the brochure, showing a child swinging. And it, as somebody said, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Talking about little children, I read a story about two little boys who stole a bag of oranges from their neighbor. So they decided to go to a quiet place, divide the spoil among themselves. One of them suggested, why don't we go to the nearby cemetery and share the spoil? As they were jumping the big gate of the cemetery to enter the cemetery, two oranges fell out of their bag, but they didn't bother to pick it up since they had so many in their bag. A few minutes later, a drunkard on his way from the bar passed by the cemetery gate and heard the voice saying, "One for you, one for me, one for you, one for me." He immediately sobered up and ran as fast as he could to the nearby church, and he called on to the father, "Father, please come with me. See, God and Satan are dividing corpses at the cemetery." So they both ran to the cemetery gate, and they heard the voice, "One for me, one for you, one for me, one for you." Suddenly the voice stopped counting and said, "What about the two at the gate?" Both the priest and the drunkard ran away from that place, shouting, "We are not dead yet." So this story has nothing to do with the passage, but just to check whether any of us are asleep right now. So this passage that I've chosen is verses 18 to verse 28 of chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. In this paragraph, John explicitly focuses on false teachers and their departure and what was their teaching. It is a sign of the times that we are currently at. To get a grasp of this passage, we should read verse 28, the last verse of this passage. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Thus, to abide faithfully to Christ will bring confidence at his coming. The past few classes, we learned from 1 John, and we saw in chapter 2, verse 12, that Holy Spirit is addressing the family of God by dividing it into three classes according to the measure of growth in grace. Some are called fathers, young men, and children. Now we have come to this passage, which begins with the word little children. Let's read verse 18. "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Bible scholars say that the word little children here is different to what is noted in verse 12. Here, the little children implies all that are born in God's family. Nothing to do with their spiritual growth. Everybody who is a child of God is a little child to God the Father. That's why, if you read some of your translation, it says, just children. Further, it says, little children, it is the last hour. Some translation says, it is the last time. It alerts us to the fact that the consummation of God's purpose is imminent. It is fast closing in. When we read the New Testament, we understand that we are living in the period of grace. The Christian era is the period of grace. Let me turn your attention to a few passages from Hebrews chapter 1. verses 1 to 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, God, who at various time and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So all the preceding ages before led up to the advent of Christ. Also, let me turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. So we understand we are right now in the period of grace. And this period of grace is going to end with the great tribulation. All the preceding ages led up to the advent of Christ. And the only factor which is delaying the arrival of the end of time is the filling up of the full measure of wickedness. If you remember Abrahamic covenant, when God is talking to Abraham, he's telling, your children will be under bondage in Egypt for 400 years till the iniquity of Amorite is completed. So we see there is a time that God is waiting till the fullness of the measure of wickedness will be completed. Then the curtain will be drawn on the period of grace. That is why John is saying it is the last hour. Again, verse says, it is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. The word Antichrist has two words. We split it Antichrist. Anything that Christ is representing, Antichrist is opposing that. He is the one which denotes, and he is the one who usurps the place of Christ. He opposes anything and everything that Christ represents. He opposes God and Christ. And in the Great Tribulation, there is an Antichrist. He is the monster of all iniquity that is be present in Great Tribulation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 7 and 8, it says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Paul is saying, mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Then verse 8, it says, then the lawless one will be revealed. The Antichrist is also called the lawless one, the wicked one. He will be revealed. But at the present moment, there are many Antichrists. There are many who follow the spirit of Antichrist, which is against the spirit of Christ. If you note carefully, Satan mimics God's program. John was sent as a forerunner to Christ. Here we see there are many Antichrists which are forerunners to the Antichrist which is going to come in Great Tribulation, wherein the people are groomed. The unregenerated people are groomed for the ultimate deception that is going to happen at the Great Tribulation. Verse 19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. It is a startling fact that John is saying there were Antichrists who were present among the believers. Paul, when he is talking to the Ephesian elders, he is quoting this. Acts chapter 20 verse 30 says, also from among yourself men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. They claim to be believers. They claim to be Christians. They were baptized. They took part in communion. But now they have turned away from Christianity. They have turned away from the fundamentals of Christianity. Doctrinally, they moved away from apostolic teaching, but now they have physically departed from the fellowship of the believers. The verse continues, verse 19, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. John is introducing a test for a believer, a test of continuance, a test of perseverance. That is the hallmark of a genuine Christian, a genuine born-again believer. If you remember the Lord's parable of the sower, when the seed was sown, it fell on good ground, it fell on rocky places. What happened to the seed that fell on the rocky places? It sprang up quickly, but after some time, it died off. It could not persevere. Luke 8, verse 15, Lord is saying, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. This is much more than moving away to another church because of some convenience, but it is abandoning the fundamental doctrines of Christianity. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They have moved away, abandoned the fundamental grounds of Christianity. They went out in us. They went out in order that they may be made manifest that none of them were of us. Even though this fact is unsettling for the godly people, John is detecting an element of God's sovereignty. He is saying they went out from us because it was to show, to expose their character. They were not Christians at the first place. Mere membership in a church does not guarantee someone to be a true believer. So how are little children like us to be guarded against these false teachers or antichrist? John is explaining that in verse 20 and 21. He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. John is turning to the resources that a child of God have in his or her disposal. They are not dependent on these antichrists and their false teaching, but they are provided a permanent gift from the Lord, that is the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 reads like this. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That means anybody who claims to be a Christian, he is having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You do not have to do something special to get that Holy Spirit. Moment you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, God has promised that a resource is given to you. That is the third person Godhead. Holy Spirit indwells in you permanently. And this Holy Spirit which enables us to decipher what is right and what is wrong. Holy Spirit instructs us and equips his people in their service towards him. How do I know something is genuine or something is false? When I learn the qualities of something which is genuine, then only I know this is right, genuine, or this is duplicate. Let me explain to you with an illustration from my life. When we were moving to Canada, I was in the Middle East. I went to the bank with my savings. I told I need some Canadian dollars. So they gave me Canadian dollars in my hand. I have never touched a Canadian dollar before. I never seen it. So how do I know whether these are genuine or not? I have to know what are the security marks in the Canadian dollars. Similarly, to know whether this thing is from the Holy Spirit, we should know how the Holy Spirit works. Let me turn your attention to few passages and show you how the Holy Spirit is manifested in a believer's life. What is the purpose of Holy Spirit? John chapter 15, verse 26. John chapter 15, verse 26. If you have a red letter Bible, it shows this verse is in red letter. That means Jesus Christ is himself is speaking. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So one of the qualities of Holy Spirit will be, he will testify of Jesus. He will testify of Jesus. Holy Spirit is also mentioned as Spirit of Truth. Turn to the next chapter, chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit is also known as Comforter. He will show what all sins in my life. He will reprove me of sin, righteousness and judgment. Again, verse 13 and 14, same chapter. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. So here we see the Holy Spirit, next quality of the Holy Spirit is that he will guide you into all truth. He will shew you the truth. Then he will not speak of himself. Again, he shall glorify me. So these are the qualities of how the Holy Spirit manifests, shows himself to others. When we see around, people say, oh, slaying in Holy Spirit, barking in Holy Spirit. These are things which does not align with the Word of God. Again, Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given us by God. Holy Spirit is freely given to all the children who are born again. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we get the mind of Christ? Because the Holy Spirit, the indwelling, is indwell in each and every child of God. So we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Further, verse 20 says, ye know all things. We potentially know all things because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is indwelling in us. We need not be carried away from all kinds of false teaching. In verse 12, we saw young believers, the resources that a young believer has is the Word of God. Here we see Word of God is as a resource. Second, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So someone comes with false teaching, we have to turn back to the Word of God and turn back to the Spirit of God which indwells in us, when he will show you the right way, the truth, and preserve us from any error. Verse 21, I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. So I taught you the Spirit of Holy Spirit is also known as the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into truth. Further, it says, verse 21, that no lie is of truth. In NIV, it says, no lie comes from the truth. There is no room for doubt. The Holy Spirit will guide you in truth. Verse 22, who is a liar, but he who denies Jesus Christ, Jesus is Christ. F.F. Bruce, a famous brethren missionaries, he said like this, and I quote, to deny that Jesus is the Christ is to deny that he is the Son of God, or he has come in the flesh. This denial is deadly, because only in the Christ, the Son of God, who came in the flesh, is eternal life to be had. Most errors, ancient and modern, relative to the person of Christ, can be traced back to the denial of the incarnation. That inscrutable union of deity and genuine, yet holy, and humanity. Further, it says, verse 22, says, he, the Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. So we see the Antichrist, they are attacking the fundamental doctrines of Christianity. They deny the Father and the Son. So there are many Antichrists among right now, and they are ultimately forerunners of the final Antichrist, which will be revealed at the great tribulation. Verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The false teacher probably did not want to denigrate the Father, but by their actions, by their implication, they are implicating that through their teaching about Christ. The knowledge of the Father cannot be divorced from the knowledge of the Son. John chapter 1 verse 18, we know, the only begotten Son who is the bosom of the Father has declared Him. We cannot know the God the Father without His Son, Jesus Christ, who has declared Him to us. To know, to have the Father is not to simply hold on to the doctrine that God the Father exists, but rather to have Him as your own Father. Verse 24 says, therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. Revised version rendering says like this, as for you, let that abide in you. John is expecting his reader to be completely separated from these false teachers. How do we get separated from these false teachers? The key is to keep to the word of God, to abide in the doctrine of our Lord, to abide in the gospel truth that were instructed from the very beginning of their Christian journey. So, my dear brothers, how vital it is to hold on to the sound biblical teaching that is available in the Bible. Verse 25, we see, and this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. Here, Christ is the subject of this sentence. Christ Himself has promised us that you will get a gift of eternal life. That's what we see in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ Himself has promised the believer the gift of eternal life. To abide in the fellowship of the Father and the Son is the very essence and the glory of eternal life that we read in chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Moving on to verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. J.N. Darby says like this, these things I have written to you concerning those who lead you astray. John is talking about the false teachers who are trying to lead you astray. We see in this passage three things about these antichrists, these false teachers. First, in verse 19, they departed from us. They departed from apostolic teaching. Second, they denied the deity of Christ in verse 22 and 23. Finally, we see here, they deceived the faithful. How do we protect ourselves from this false teaching? Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. Again, John is pointing to the indwelling Holy Spirit in a believer's life. He is permanently indwelling it, sanctifying them, illuminating the truths that are there in the scriptures. Then Christians, as believers, we have no need to fall for the false teachings of these antichrists. At the same time, this verse should not be misapplied for godly teachers who share with you some uncomfortable messages that we might have. These are all pastors or teachers who are provided by the Lord to teach from the scriptures. And that's what we read in verse 24, where John emphasized a great value of early instruction in Christian doctrine. Further, it says in verse 27, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, just as it was taught you, you will abide in Him. This sentence summarizes the essential teaching of this section of passage. This line clearly draws a line between a believer and somebody who is acting like a believer, who is a who has a spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. That's what we read in John chapter 16, verse 13. The path of preservation is a steadfast continuance in what was taught by the apostles under the Spirit's guidance. Finally, in verse 28, we see the summary of what John is saying in this section. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Verse 18 alluded the coming of the Antichrist. And here we see the implication of coming of the true Christ, the one whom the heaven is concealing right now, but the believers are waiting patiently for his second coming. The believer who abides in the in communion with the Lord have confidence at his second coming. Further, it says in the scriptures that once he comes, there will be a judgment seat of Christ. This judgment seat of Christ is different from a believer and an unbeliever. For an unbeliever who's not a Christian, there's a great throne, white throne, wherein they'll be judged because they did not believe in Christ. They did not accept salvation. But for a believer, there is a judgment seat of Christ. And that judgment seat of Christ is for reward. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 12, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." For a believer, we are all awaiting the Lord. His searching eyes will scrutinize each and every act that we did to provide a reward for what you and I have done for him in this life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13 says, "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. All things will be exposed at that day." And the scripture says, we should have confidence at the time when it is happening. With this great prospect in view, a faithful perseverance in the doctrine of apostles, righteousness of life, and love for one's fellow believers generates confidence at that time. John is referring here, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him. He is including himself along with John, Peter, and so many great saints just passed away before us. We'll all be standing together with him. Let us be confident for that day. Let me close this passage by reading one verse in 2 John verse 8. 2 John verse 8 says, "Look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Watch. In ESV, it says like this, "Watch yourself so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward." That day is coming so close. My dear brothers and sisters, the things that we do for Christ, let us do with all that we may give all glory to him. Because on that day, our work will be made clear. That day will declare it. It will be revealed by fire. And all of us, children of God, we have to give an account of how we spend our days in this earth. May his majesty be glorified.